Okay, praise the Lord. Let me pray first. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for the patience of everybody who has some technical challenges today, Lord, but we know that you're faithful and just, and that we'll get through this session tonight without any more challenges at all in Jesus' name. Just needs out right now to make sure that everything works perfectly without any problems at all in Jesus' name. So a couple things we're going to talk about today is that many people are still beating themselves up over mistakes of their past. Okay. And if you haven't forgiven yourself, you need to finally, once and for all, get over every challenge that you've ever had. Except for Jesus, we've all made mistakes, every one of us. Okay. And once you confess your sins, your sins are then a seal of forgiveness. So we can get past it and go forward. Jesus doesn't want us looking back to our past. Satan does. Satan will always point out and say, well, you remember when you did this? Oh, remember when that happened and so forth? And you write, bro. God bless. We're past it. Now, you have to have faith to believe that you're fully forgiven. Now, faith is factual, authentication, indisputably truthful in heaven. Did Jesus say on the cross, forgive them, Father, if they don't know what they did? He did. Therefore, we are forgiven. It's factual. It's authentified by Jesus. It's indisputable, truthful, and in heaven. So our faith says that we are forgiven and we receive total forgiveness for anything we've ever done wrong. And to be honest, we did it wrong because we're under attacks of demonic challenges that misled us for the most part. So let's forgive ourselves. As we stay forgiven, the challenge of not forgiving yourself is often being in fear, which is false evidence appearing real. Okay. The false evidence is the lie that Satan will tell us that, you shouldn't be forgiven. You've done something so bad and so horrible. It doesn't matter what you've done, it's forgiven. Okay. If you confess your sin before God, it's completely and totally forgiven in Jesus' name. Okay. Okay. Which voice are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the godly voice that says you're forgiven or the demonic voice that says, well, you still have challenges and things because you've done things wrong? Okay. So operating faith is partnering with the Holy Spirit and obeying His voice. Good example. Okay. When the Israelites went to take Jericho, 10 spies didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. They listened to what they saw. They saw the giants. They saw the size of the walls. They were so big the chariots could race around them. And they were afraid. They had fear. But the truth was, God had already given them their land. Okay. The truth was that the people in Jericho were afraid of the Israelites because they had heard how the Israelites' God had destroyed the Egyptian army, which is the strongest army in the world at that time. Literally destroyed the entire army. But because they weren't operating in faith, they didn't ever take their promised land. So operating in fear is partnering with the demon of fear and obeying his voice and convinces the person to commit the sin of assumption, deceived by false evidence appearing real. Now, what are false evidences? A bad doctor's report is a false evidence. I mean, it seems natural. It certainly does. They can point to all the challenges and so forth. But the truth is, we've all been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have to believe we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. If anybody's having financial challenges, we have to believe that God has supplied all of our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. The false evidence appearing real is the fear that they'll put in to us trying to get people to think, oh, it's insurmountable. Or the one that I get a lot when mystery is, well, you don't know what's happened to me. And the answer is, it doesn't matter, because God is bigger and stronger than any challenge we've ever had in the name of Jesus. Now, James 1, 13 to 15. Let no one say he is tempted. I am tempted by God. God doesn't tempt us. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desire and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived it, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Okay. So what's happened here is the devil will tempt us. He will tempt us in ways in which he will tempt us in ways in which are designed for him to defeat us. Okay. God doesn't tempt us. Like people say, well, God's trying to teach me something. God doesn't use an illness to teach anybody. God uses his word to teach everybody. If there's a problem there, it's from the devil. Period. Okay, Karen, can I add something to this?
Well, I think it's important when you have a thought and it seems like a good idea. It's really important to check with the Holy Spirit to make sure it's a God idea. I've had many times in the past before I started really working on hearing God's voice better that I made mistakes because I didn't check with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that's ever happened to somebody else, but I learned school of hard knocks to just ask God if that is something that he wants me to do or that I should be doing. Sometimes he allows me to do something, so it's permissible, but not his perfect will. And so ask the right question. What is the best thing for me to do, Lord? Instead of, is that okay for me to do? I have found there is a difference because God doesn't override our will. He doesn't want puppets, and that's why we love him, because we come to him because we choose to. And there's a lot of things in our lives that are allowing temptation to come in. People do not realize that fear is a temptation. And the Lord really wants us to hone in on fear for a while and go to the next level of overcoming it. Because the two things that we really have to watch that opens the door to challenges are unforgiveness and fear, right? And so if we have zero challenges, then we probably are doing really great in those two areas. And if we still have some challenges, we need to dig deeper. Are there more roots that we were unaware that we didn't break some curses? Are there reoccurring sins that we're unaware of that we have to ask the Holy Spirit to show us? So, I never really looked at being tempted by fear. And so when I get, these feelings of, I remember that I heard someone say that they were so scared. It was a fireman, and they were facing one of the biggest blazes they'd ever faced. And they were like trapped between two fire fronts. Usually, when they set a fire, they do it on purpose so it'll burn towards the raging fire and it tries to meet and put itself out. Well, some winds came up that made it go the wrong direction, like back towards the firemen who were setting it. And one of the firemen, after they went through the whole ordeal, and they did get out and they were able to put the fire out. But I was overhearing the conversation because we were at a party and a lot of the fire guys came and were discussing because they were on that fire that day. And the guy said the hair on the back of his neck stood up. And that's a lot of hair. But you know, you ever been so challenged to be scared about something that your body feels it, you sense it. And when you have that feeling coming on, you can say, no, I'm going to choose not to be afraid. You can stop it. You can realize that you're under attack and you didn't even realize that we're being ensnared by the devil to react with fear instead of pausing and saying, I choose to operate in faith. And I think that's a big difference. So this week's assignment is try to forgive yourself for things that you may not have been aware of. A lot of people don't realize how that affects them. We minister quite a lot to people who will tell us that they have no challenges forgiving themselves and they don't have any an unforgiveness towards themselves or self-unforgiveness. And so, but the more that we minister, the more that we realize that it's just that they just weren't paying attention or didn't realize that that really was unforgiveness. Let's talk about some of those things. For instance, if somebody makes a mistake, and I've heard some people say that person says over themselves that they were very very dumb or very stupid, and they keep saying, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? And have you ever heard someone else conversing to themselves or the people around them? And they don't realize that they hadn't forgiven themselves because they have this like condemnation now. And then they keep regretting what happened and the woulda, shoulda, coulda, and beating themselves up about something. And so you might want to see if there's something that you're doing that you're beating yourself up about, something in the past. A regret is usually some kind of self-unforgiveness, a failed expectation that you thought you should have done something and it didn't work out the way that you wanted, and now you're very disappointed about it. And you might have to forgive yourself for that. And some people may have already dealt with those things, but we just felt the Holy Spirit saying today that there are people that may need to dig deeper, and you'll be able to get set free of some things that the Lord wants you to get set free from. So, I encourage you to try to spend some time with the Holy Spirit. And when you have that alone time, to ask Him, inquire if there's something that might be holding you back that you didn't realize, so that you could fully forgive yourself and any wounds of your heart that the balm of Gilead still needs to cleanse you, the blood of Jesus cleanse you, the rivers of living water cleanse you. But to me, the balm of Gilead is when Jesus understands our hurts, that when someone disappointed us, when someone wounded our spiritual heart, not our physical heart, and you still have to renew your mind to releasing those negative thoughts or painful thoughts or sorrowful thoughts. And we can choose to say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to think on those things anymore. I want to think on the things that are good, that are lovely, that are true, are of good report. I want to see myself free because I am free, but the devil's trying to lie to me with this fear and the fear of being hurt again or disappointed again or failing again. And if any of those things are challenging you, I just really feel like the Lord wants us to pray for you tonight to get set free. And if you're doing fine in that area, then agree with us that whoever is going through that tonight will receive the rhema understanding and comprehension that you have perfect love inside of you. The perfect love of God is in you because God loves you and God has filled you, if you're a Christian, with his agape love. He's received you into his family. You didn't have to earn it. There's nothing you can do to blow it. He loves you regardless, as long as we repent of our sin and we turn back on that sin and we want him to help us to improve and grow. Forgive yourself. He's already forgiven you. And so he doesn't remember it anymore. He chooses not to remember your sin anymore when you repent, when you ask him to do that. And when you've confessed your sin, then it's done. It's washed away by the blood of Jesus. And so if you keep getting a video rewind in your mind over and over and over, that's a demon of fear trying to bring that back to you, that you didn't do it good enough or whatever. No, let God's perfect love grow. And when you receive, just all you have to do is receive. Just receive it. It's already in you, and he's already extended his love to you. That perfect love, which trusts God and trusts his word, casts out all what? Fear. Right. So you have the skills. You have the tools already in you and just have to apply it. So let's pray. So let's say again a USP. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware.
I'm not aware.
Of any sins.
Of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
1 John 1:9.
And I thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, Lord.
That perfect love.
That perfect love.
Cast out all fear.
Cast out all fear.
And I thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, Lord.
That your perfect love.
That your perfect love.
Helps me.
Helps me.
To trust you more.
To trust you
and
more.
And to receive of you.
And receive of you.
Everything that you have for me.
Everything that you have for me.
And I want to love myself more, Lord.
I want to love myself more, Lord.
And if there's any areas I need to forgive myself.
If there's any areas I need to forgive myself.
And I'm not releasing.
I'm not releasing.
Any regret.
Any regrets.
Or beating myself up about a mistake.
Beating myself up about a mistake.
Or the past.
Or the past.
Then reveal that to me, Lord.
Reveal that to me, Lord.
And I receive. All I have to do is receive your forgiveness.
Just receive your forgiveness.
And or if there's any areas I haven't repented of that I need to.
Any of them repented, I need to.
Because I didn't know about it.
I didn't know about it.
And you're revealing it.
You're revealing it.
Show that to me tonight.
Show that to me tonight.
So I could be set free.
So I could be set free.
And who the Son sets free.
Who the Son sets free.
It's free indeed.
It's free indeed.
And I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
For everything Jesus did for me.
Everything Jesus did for me.
On the cross at Calvary.
On the cross at Calvary.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Tonight, we have
Deborah and Gwen
doing communion. So if you guys want to do that now, Deborah, I'll unmute you and quit.
Good evening, everyone. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for all of the teaching that's gone on tonight. Thank you for your great forgiveness for us. And we can extend that to others and to ourselves. So we praise you, Lord, that on that night that you were betrayed, you took the bread, you blessed and broke it, you gave it to your disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." So thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said that you are the bread of life. And that when we eat of this bread, this your body, that we will live forever. Thank you, Lord, that healing is the children's bread. So we're eating of this, the bread of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that when it was on that night that you were betrayed and you didn't have offense, you chose not to. And even that person was included in this new covenant. And so thank you, Jesus, that you set a wonderful example of forgiveness and that we are forgiven for everything. And the consequences of those sins have no legal rights to us. And so as we eat of this bread, we can declare that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus from every cell, every organ, every system, every function of our bodies are healed, restored, rejuvenated, complete, right down to the specifications that you have designed our bodies to be. So thank you, Jesus. And we eat of this bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious blood. We thank you that the life is in the blood. And as often as we eat your body and drink your blood, we do remind ourselves of your death and resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that your blood flows to every cell, organ, system in our body, including the empty spaces. And we thank you, Lord, for the power that's in the blood to drive out all sickness, all disease, all infirmity, and all pain from us. And as we partake of this communion tonight, we remember those of our family and friends and loved ones who are challenged in any way with any sickness or weakness, infirmity, and pain in their bodies. And we thank you, Father, that manifested healing comes to each and every one of them and any of us who are in need of healing. We thank you for that precious life that's in this blood and for the power that's in the blood to set us free. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive your precious blood, and we also receive every benefit, every promise, and every blessing that comes to us through your precious blood. We receive it now in thanksgiving and remembrance of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. We need two volunteers for communion for next week. Who would like to volunteer for next week?
Oh, let me unmute people. Should be able to. Everybody should be able to unmute now.
I'll do one of them.
Okay. Annie. Okay. Anybody else? Maria, do you want to do it?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. So, Maria, which one do you want to do?
I'll do the body.
Okay. So, body Maria and blood for Annie. Don't forget this Friday's first Friday Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a wonderful worship service and a wonderful fellowship time at 6:33. So those of you that can join us, we welcome you. And there is no after service prayer on that service, but there is after service prayer tonight if anybody wants to stay. Is it daylight savings time coming up?
This Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday night.
Yeah, so I wanted to remind you, which way is it again?
Fall back.
Spring forward.
Okay, spring forward, fall back. Okay.
California that does that because Arizona doesn't do that.
Right. Okay. Well, Arizona, Indiana, a couple states don't. They're on the backside of the sun there.
Okay.
We get an extra hour for those of us who do change time. So that's nice. We get an extra hour this weekend.
Okay. So if they showed up at 10 o'clock today time in the morning, they would be too
early.
Early. Oh, oh, got it. Okay. Penny, would you like to close in prayer tonight? Oh, wait. Oh, before that, Pastor James has an announcement, and then you guys could pray for us.
Okay, well, Pastor R. Karen and I have been working very diligently on a book we're going to get published this year, either end of December, first part of January, about the 633 program and how it's working, and corporate prayer is going out for everybody. So we are asking for a prayer that people pick it up and read it because it's a big success. It's done more to glory the kingdom of God. We still have to be success. And we're sending an advanced copy out to a number of you to preview it and give us your feelings and recommendations back.
Well, testimonies.
Testimonies, yeah.
Right. We want to reach out to people in the body of Christ because we got so excited to see the results at 6:33 and all the wonderful testimonies. And God is using each one of you 6:33ers to pray for those breakthroughs that people are having. And so what we sow, we're going to reap. So it's accelerated in what we need for our own lives. And we're meeting so many people that are getting blessed by this that don't even go to our church. And as we were going to some of these conferences and really sharing, we just saw how the Lord was using it to get the body of Christ to be supporting each other as a body and with a prayer of agreement. And some people still feel so isolated because of the pandemic and COVID. And they say like almost 60% of people never went back to live churches for the churches that reopened, and they don't even live stream anymore. They just kind of got reassimilated back out into the world. And so we're wanting to bring the corporate anointing back to the body of Christ to say, we're a family of God. We're here for you. And the cool thing is we're not having to lay hands on people that are not Christian. We're not having to anoint people with oil. They're getting healed at home by their faith growing, by them learning the word of God, by them praying for others. They're praying for healing for others. They're receiving healing. During our church services, we have more and more people receiving breakthroughs in the middle of a service. It's very exciting what God's doing. And so we want to share that with the world. We want to connect with other believers in the body of Christ and help them so they don't feel alone or by themselves, and that they would also be able to draw closer to God. Many people that we minister to ask us to teach them how to hear the voice of God. We can't tell you how many pastors come to us.
Yeah.
And they don't really hear God's voice. They just know the word of God and preach it. They're good people, a very righteous people. And it's amazing how they don't know how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit either, or in the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're thinking, well, if their pastor is asking us to help them, their congregation needs some help. So we're helping them to also reach out to their own congregation members to assemble them as a body of Christ. And so we cherish your prayers so that this book will go out and touch these lives and bless them and help them. Okay, so next week we'll be sending you guys an email to check your emails. And we have like a time limit. So we'll be starting Monday and Tuesday, sending them all out. And if you can, you know, read through it, and if you have a very occupied life and don't have time to read the entire book, you know, just in chapter 1 and 2, did anything there bless you or help you? And any testimonies or praise reports would be very appreciated to send back to us right away, so that we could also share that with other people, so it encouraged them. So that's our news.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay. How many of you guys have been blessed by 633? Praise the Lord. And we want to hear those testimonies. You didn't have to wait for the book to come out to tell us that. Some of you haven't even told us your testimonies. And we want that. Why? We share testimonies because it encourages someone else that might be going through the same thing. It was interesting that I asked Annie to minister to a lady, and she didn't know her, but I just came to my spirit, who should I ask to minister to this person, because I didn't have time. Lo and behold, I found out from Annie that the lady was going through an exact same injury Annie had just recuperated from.
Oh,
no. Right, Annie? So you were able to help her because you'd walked through it, literally walked through it, and now she can turn around and help. So the Lord shows us things. There's many times that I'll call somebody up and say, God just put you on my heart. One person said, I'm so glad you called. I don't know why I'm on the floor. And she had passed out. And I woke her up by ringing her phone. I had no clue. I was very occupied that day. And the Lord kept saying, call so-and-so. Okay, first time I'm like, okay, I'll get to it, Lord. Second time, call so-and-so. Third time is call so-and-so. And I knew it was like, oh, gee, I better put down what I'm doing, because I was in the middle of doing something that I couldn't stop. So I hurried it up. And thank God I did, to wake that person up and able to help her literally get up, literally get healed. Yes, Sandy?
Tell you that, you know how last week I gave testimony about my toe? Well, of course, after I was giving my testimony, same thing happened to my foot. The devil was brought back so much pain. So I was like, I said, okay, you're going to keep doing that? I'm just going to keep telling more people about it and show them the picture. So I showed the maintenance guy that came in. I showed my mother. I showed strangers who didn't even know me. I was like, just keep it up. Just keep it up. I'm just going to keep doing it, and then people's going to get saved. And it's like the demon just ran. Like, I had no pain.
That's good. Keep sharing the gospel. That's a good way to get back at the devil. Yeah. Amen.
And by more on the subject, you know, Val, our newcomer, we met her at the Florida conference. She's got her book out now. It's, I'm sorry, what's the name of your book again, Val, about your child?
It's called God, I'm Worried About My Child.
Yeah. It's a real powerful message about how to work with challenged teenagers.
Rebellious teenagers.
Yeah. That gets in the right hands too, as well.
And any of you that need that book, it's anointed. She's very anointed.
Yes.
And now she has a really great bond with her son. And it's the Lord did it the whole way.
And amen.
She's showing Christians how God can also help them. So it's on Amazon. If you want to go Find that book.
Or if you know somebody may need it, refer them to it, you know.
Or send it as a gift.
Yeah.
The title again, Val, is?
God, I'm worried about my son.
Yeah, and she's also having some meetings. Can you want to share about your meetings?
Actually, I just wrapped up the last one today, so I'll be scheduling something probably next month. But I took 3 days to kind of give some practical solutions on, you know, if you're dealing with your rebellious teen, you know, how you, with working with God and having faith, some good natural practical solutions on you can apply to kind of help get you and your son to come reach a common ground.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah, for when you taught on forgiveness. And people who still want to get a hold of her books, I know that some people use Deborah's book on forgiveness like a handbook. And if they're going through a challenge, they read the book and it helps them remember the steps to do. Pastor Matthew, he's got an incredible book on the Glorious Church. I know Peter, he's really been blessed by that book and so many other people, because we need to become the Glorious Church that Christ has made us to be. And it's very, very important. You want to share on your book, Pastor Matthew?
Sure. It's called Now is the Time for the Church to Be the Glorious Church. And the subtitle is a prophetic word from the book of Ephesians for the end times church. So, and it's, well, it's about being the glorious church. The Lord just gave it to me from the book of Ephesians several years ago, and published it about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago now. And anyway, it's about practical guides from the book of Ephesians about what it means to be the glorious church and how to practically put it into effect into your life.
And that prophecy is so important that he prophesied for such a time as this, literally, because we're going through that right now. We need that.
Amen.
And didn't the Lord take you into eternity? Can you share about that?
Yeah, I was doing some studying on righteousness, and the Lord's just really ministering to me about what righteousness is. And so one day when I was praying, I was just praying in tongues. I was thinking about these verses on righteousness, and I remember the verse from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, I believe it is. Maybe it's 14, no, 11, where it says that we look for the time when righteous, when righteousness dwells, when after the Lord comes, it says, and righteousness dwells. And just as I quoted that, all of a sudden I stepped into that time. And I didn't see anything. I could just experience the atmosphere of God's righteousness. And it's so different than what we normally think of righteousness as a way of being. It was really righteousness is who we are. It was like there, it's an atmosphere. It's an attitude. It's a well, let me put it this way. You know that scripture that says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Mm-hmm. So many people read that and they can't understand how righteousness, peace, and joy go together, because righteousness seems so different. But it really isn't. Righteousness is as much of a state as peace and as joy. So when you're walking in righteousness, you just, I don't know. There is peace. There is joy in that righteousness. But there's a, it's like that. My wife's been talking about this lately. It's like that. There's a placid lake, a completely smooth, placid lake. And one time when I was meditating on that, that's exactly what I saw, this smooth lake. And into that lake, a pebble dropped. And it started doing ripples. And I realized that's sin. Mm-hmm. And the more that the bigger the pebbles, the bigger the rocks that end up in that pool, the more the turbulence. But where God wants us in righteousness is a placid lake. It's peace, it's love, but it is also righteousness. And I know when I'm in that place, it's like, I don't want to sin. I don't want to do anything that breaks this place of righteousness. And so anyway, that was the experience when I stepped into that place. And then I felt it, I experienced it. And then the Lord said, it's time to go back. And then I was back in my living room. And then I could see the contrast in my life, in my being, of sin. My attitudes and actions and thoughts and stuff were so sinful compared to the righteousness that I had just experienced. And it just created a repentance and a desire to walk in that place of righteousness. And it really helped me to be able to see that there actually is a way to walk without sin. Now, I'm not saying that I've gotten there, but I know that it's possible.
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing with us.
Great. Yes.
So, Penny, can you close? I know we're running late. Thank you for staying later. Thank all of you for also understanding our technical challenge today. We really appreciate your patience with us. Penny, would you go ahead and close in prayer, please?
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Shokotobata. Father, we just thank you for your presence with us, for your goodness.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, that you have taught us tonight and reminded us to forgive ourselves and to not be in fear. For your word says, do not fear, just believe. And that we are reminded to do those things to remove all hindrances that would interfere between having our prayers answered. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, that your word is true, and that you are faithful, and that we can trust you.
Yes.
And we choose to believe you, to believe in your word. We choose you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you never leave us, that you love us and forsake us. And we love you, Jesus, and we thank you so much. And we just think that everyone tonight leaves tonight with peace in their hearts, with sweet sleep and no fear.
Yes.
But feel the goodness of the Lord upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless.
Yeah. Okay, so let me stop the recording.